Anybody out in the lobby? No, okay. Okay, folks. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting today. Can everyone hear me clearly? Assume you can't, yeah. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile and telephones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded, except where the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would remind councillors of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. And folks, just before I start tonight, I'd like to welcome Dorina back. Glad to see you back at the helm with us, and we wish you well. Good to see you back. Welcome back. I'd also like to, this is the last SPNR meeting of our outgoing Chief Executive, Liam Hannaway. This time next month, people wondering, what was I doing this time last month?
I'm not going to
put the gallery. No. So Liam, we'd like to thank you all for your efforts and support. Yeah. Certainly from my command of the council, you've been a great support to me and for the strategic direction you've given the council in your time as Chief Executive, and we wish you every happiness and health in your retirement, wherever that leads you.
Thanks very much.
Okay, so folks, we will move on through the agenda. What I would say is that we have an item where we're supposed to have a presentation, and that is running a little bit late, so we move through the agenda until such times as we're in a position to take that. So first of all, any declarations of interest? Liam, you've one there, have you?
Yes, I have. It's a star free fall already.
Yeah.
Item 18.
Right, okay, no problem. Okay, item number 3 is the action sheet arising from SPNR 20 held on the 12th of September 2019. Going through the action sheet for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Page 8. Well, the proposer and seconder for accuracy. Councillor Byrne, seconder, Councillor Howe. Okay, just, you want to go through this? Okay. Well, do you want to go through the action sheet? Okay, any questions? I know there are two issues. Councillor Byrne, you wanted to come in on one?
Yeah, just for clarity, more on page 7, the leased land, the former land, so it's in Newtown Hamilton. I know we did say to prepare for a month, it's on the action sheet, not to remove it, it'll stay there, but just to update that it won't be a month because it obviously came the party reps and we'll have to do full council and go back to DA and have more consultation. So just the wording of that's updated, so for clarity.
Chairman, maybe I can come in on that there. It just, yeah, the agreement was at the last meeting to refer to this meeting, but I suppose circumstances have meant that, you know, we need to take a bit more time in it, so... It won't, we are going to try and run a meeting with the DA councillors and try to get it back for the next month. So while it says a month, was it really a month, it's not going to work for us. So we just need to take a bit more time on it to get more clarity on a number of issues. So, yeah, we're organising a meeting with the DA councillors in the first instance with Regen at the moment, and Roland's leading on that.
Okay, everybody happy with that clarity? Just the other item on page 7 I'd like to touch base on, because it was myself and Councillor McAteer based in relation to New Rugby Club. And the expression of interest for the Derry Lake of Plainfields. I know the club is undergoing severe stress at the minute in relation to trying to get facilities for training for all its players, particularly its youth players and female players, and we certainly would be hoping that subject to there being clarity around the process that we could be in a position to have a discussion with New Rugby Club about that asset if possible. So any other points? Well, happy to move on. Okay, thank you. So, Alan's here.
Yeah.
Alan, you're very welcome. Thank you very much. Alan's going to present to us now in relation to you just find that place. Item number four, Sal Brandy from Land and Property Services. He's going to take us through the review of business rates. Alan, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much. Apologies that I'm a little late, just got caught in traffic, but it's good to be here. And thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity to just alert you to the business rates consultation. Hopefully you're very aware of it, but to highlight some issues that I think could be relevant before the Council make the response. So I'm the Director of Leading Policy, and so therefore I have responsibility to Sue Gray, the Permanent Secretary, to head up this business rates review. I'm not sure that this will run, so I'll just skip through it. There is a video there, but it's very difficult to miss if I get my hands on the laptop. So I want to give you a bit of background to the review and outcome of what was called the July Innovation Lab and details of the public consultation. I think, first of all, it's important to set context, although probably as councillors there's very little need for me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Rates generate £1.3 billion for Northern Ireland. It's in Northern Ireland terms, it's our only source of revenue coming for the executive and indeed for councils. So it's a huge issue for us. £590 million of that, as you can see from the screen, goes to district councils, £744 to the regional spending. So Lorena could be able to tell me exactly what the percentage is for your council, but on average 77% of district council income is from rates revenue, that's domestic and non-domestic, so it's a huge issue. 6% of executive spending or departmental spending, whatever way you want to look at it, is from regional rates revenue. So in every rates bill, as we look at our individual rate bill, somewhere between 39% and 51% of every rate bill comes to the district council. But we're primarily interested this evening about business rates. So the district rate, as you can see there, 284, regional 371. So £656 million to fund public services in Northern Ireland comes from business rates. So it's a massive amount of money and a very important amount of money for public services. You may see some of the detail here, and probably no surprise that 30% of business rates is coming from the retail sector, the shops, showrooms, and supermarkets, and so 70% is not coming from the retail sector. I think sometimes we get the feeling that a bigger share is coming from the retail sector than that, but 15% from offices, warehouses, utilities, and you'll see there quite a number. So, but however, when you get to some of the other smaller percentages, there are smaller numbers, so there are big figures in there for some of these other properties. So that's the who pays. And I think you have already got copies of this, if not you will have, and you can see the amount of money involved as well. And so we've got everything as you can think of, from abattoirs to zoos, utilities, the cables on the ground for BT and NIE, the railways, everybody pays rates, except there are people who don't pay, and there are release and exemptions. And what you see on the screen or the pie chart amounts to £237.5 million. So that is the amount of money we forgo until we get to the £600 million or so amount rates that are paid. And the largest area for that is exemptions. So £96 million of business rates is forgone because properties are exempt. Now, the bulk of that will be churches and chapels, religious buildings of the church hall, and properties like that. Then you will have the charities, the mainstream charities, and then of their offices. And then there will be a small amount of that will be charity shops, but the bulk of the exemption will be religious buildings. Industrial derating, so manufacturing, accounts for manufacturing gets 70% relief. They pay 30% of the normal bill, and that costs us £63 million if rates were gone. Vacancy, almost £42 million. In other words, where a property is vacant. Only currently in Northern Ireland, 50% of rates are paid on a vacant building. The rest of, in England and Scotland, Wales, it's a higher percentage of that. Deeds and places, it's 100%. There is no difference. In terms of domestic property in Northern Ireland, we know that it's 100%. So when we pay on a residential building, whether it's occupied or not. Other areas, small business rate relief, 20 million, residential homes, sport and recreation, freight transport, etc. And those are, freight transport is really docks. It's not the big containers that we see on our roads. So that's it in figure terms. So in terms of the business rates review, that was announced on the 9th of May by my permanent secretary, Sue Gray. It was very much recognising the changes that are around in our high streets and our town centres, but also recognising that business rates are needed to fund public services. But business rates need to be at a level that allow businesses in all sectors to trade and to have growth. If we don't have that growth, if businesses don't function, then we can't levy rates really effectively on empty buildings. And we cannot change the legislation at this point in time, but I think it's a good time to come with proposals and have a good think about this so that there are proposals for incoming ministers whenever they might come. If we want to look at then at what does the review aim to do? Well, we want to result. The way we set this review is to, what proposals can we bring forward that result in the same or similar levels of revenue be available? We didn't see any point in going into review where we're going to end up with less revenue available, because no one at district council level or departmental level that I have met so far is saying we will need less money. So the terms of reference are generally looking to say, well, how can we raise the same amount of money or make available the same amount of money in other words, look at the burden and look at how it's actually impacting on individual ratepayers. So how do we do that? Do we need to widen the tax base? Do we perhaps need to lower the rate poundage? The rate poundage in Northern Ireland is the highest rate poundage that I know of. I am not aware of any other property tax in the world that taxes at the same rate on a modern rent. And we can come back to that. We're not seeking to abolish business rates, but we could complement it or partly replace it, or look at other streams if it's possible to do that. We need to see how business rates will align with the programme for government. I think we need to consider equity, fairness within the rating system. Is it fair the way the burden is distributed? Does business rates, the way they're constructed, do they recognise ability to pay? I don't think it does. And I can give you a simple example of that. We've got small business rate relief that will apply on the basis of the rateable value of a property. Industrial derating is again based on the rateable value of a property. But both of those reliefs will apply as to whether the business needs the relief or doesn't need the relief. So there's no recognition in there of ability to pay. We need to understand how business rates operate in relation to domestic rates, because as a revenue stream to this council or to departmental spending, it is all coming together as one revenue stream. And therefore, we need to understand is the balance set correctly at district and regional level in relation to that business versus domestic. So how have we taken this forward? Those are the timetables we've been working to. We had a lab in July. We've been doing a lot of stakeholder events. The public consultation opened on the 16th of September. We will, through then, November, January, consider consultation responses, and we're aiming to publish a consultation report in the springtime. I mentioned the lab, and I don't want to go into too much detail here, but we wanted to start and look at this holistically. We didn't want to start and just concentrate on business rates, but rather to say, well, what are the issues about towns and cities? How can we look at this as an issue, because we know that our high streets are struggling, but there are more issues than just business rates. And so the Department of Communities, Infrastructure and Finance came together with about 50 people from right across the sectors to say, how can we make town and city centres places where people want to live, work, visit and do business in? And that's the task that we set them. And out of that, they generated quite a number of questions. And these are some of the questions, and some of these questions then have been taken away by my colleagues in the Department of Infrastructure and the Department of Communities. It was about transport, it was about people versus traffic, it was about walking and cycling, it was about using the financial vehicles or models to encourage development and growth. It was about looking at our existing built environment, especially our built heritage. It was thinking about skills for the 21st century, thinking about leadership. It was about developing safe and confident town centres and city centres that people want to live in, that they're accessible, adaptable, and that they bring trade. And so we need to look at that. It was about community, about funding, all of those issues. And these were the two questions, therefore, that we as a department had to take away. In other words, this was my homework after the lab. How do we reform the tax system to ensure we have sufficient revenue to pay for public services and the tax burden is fair? How do we reduce individual rate burden without decreasing the level of funding that rates provide? And it was those type of questions then that moved into the consultation. But we didn't let folks away early. In a sense, we asked them, well, give us some ideas as to some of the things that you would suggest. And this was a very quickly generated list. No surprise, look at release and exemptions. No surprise, look at an online shopping tax or a mobile phone tax or any other tax that can bring in revenue where none exists already. Can we expand the rate base? Can we share data to make the system work better? Can we look at this differential between domestic and non-domestic? Are there other ways of looking at the assessment, not rental value, but about land value, looking at the footprint? Rates Rethink was the Martina Mueller paper, which in a sense never really saw further the light of day because of the fall of the executive. One objective said, why don't we set the objective to reduce the rate poundage? If we say that the rate poundage is too high, both at district and regional level, let's set it at a level as an exercise that we think is reasonable, and then look at the deficit and then say, well, how could we work with that deficit? But if we need to reduce rate poundage to a level that is acceptable, then we need to find either more revenue or find ways of coping with less revenue. And should we move more to a system of revenue charges or user charges rather than paying for everything, although we do have existing user charges? And so we moved then into the public consultation section, and that was announced on the 16th of September for 8 weeks. We've asked 6 strategic questions, and those questions I will run through. There are paper copies here, and they are also available on the web. The consultation closes on the 11th of November, and the terms of reference are also on the web. And these were the 6 questions which you will have. And you'll see already the theme coming through from the first lab sessions. How can revenues from district and regional rates be raised in a way that's fair and equitable without placing acceptable burden on business ratepayers? That's one of the big questions that we need you to help us answer. What ways can be found to widen the tax base that could facilitate a lower level of business rates? Can a fair distribution between district rates and regional rates be sustained? What is that fairness thing? What is the best distribution? What about the distribution between non-domestic and domestic? Again, I've mentioned that. And then if we look at the release and supports, what might we need to introduce? What needs to change? What needs ended? What needs targeted? And can they recognise more about the ability to pay? Again, we need answers to those questions. Are there other alternative taxable options that we can consider to complement or partly replace that would therefore give us a revenue stream that would allow us to lower our dependency on business rates? And in many ways, there's a 7th question, which is really anything else you'd like to tell us and will be worthwhile to help us through. So why is it important? Very quickly. And I want this to be an inclusive process. We want as many people as possible to be involving in shaping the future of business rates. We need to take a really hard look at it and really say, is this the best that we can do? And if it is, you know, are there changes that we need to bring through? Business rating has to be fit for purpose. We will sign up to that. It needs to fund services. And what is the best way to do that? What is the suite of support measures? We need support in there. What are they? The high street is changing irrespective of business rates. And so the properties in which we are levying business rates for district and regional rates are changing. Floor space in some sectors is shrinking. And the model that we're using looks at rental values. So is that the best model? And so we need business rate payers, we need councils, we need trade business organisations to respond. And as councillors, I would really encourage you to ask business rate payers to respond. It is about more than reliefs and exemptions, but every relief that we put in has to be paid for. And you know, helping out one sector will increase the burden on another sector. Because we are in almost like a sealed system. Just go back. It's really easy to highlight the problems. I could talk for days about the problems. What we need to find are the solutions, and together I think we should be able to do that. So we've been doing a lot of work just listening to people right around the province and councils and chambers, etc. You will have the details of how to respond. The 11th of November is the closing date. So I just encourage you to encourage others that there is a way of responding online by literally filling in an online form and heading the word submit. And that's really a very easy way to do that. Otherwise, you can, in the normal way, do a hard copy or produce a document which you can email. So there's lots of ways of getting to this. Those are my details. And Chair, that's me finished with this part of it anyway, so thank you.
No problem, Alan. Thank you very much for a very comprehensive overview of things, and well, I wish you well with the work that's in front of you. It's not an easy task. I'm sure that we'll come up with some solution, because no doubt we actually need one based on the challenges we face in relation to our rating system here in Northern Ireland. I'm happy to open up the floor. Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. And Alan, thank you very much for your presentation. This is a very important issue, business rates. And I always get sceptical when I hear the word consultation, because a lot of times consultations are only paper exercises. No matter what department it is, no matter what body out there, you know, we've had consultations to council in the past where it was really only a paper exercise. You know, our thoughts and our concerns were never fed into that consultation. So I hope it's a genuine consultation. Now, you said there, and it's understandably, and I agree, you don't want to bring in less revenue from this. So my fear is this another way to maybe hit our business community through the business rates? As you know, businesses are struggling at the minute, and I mean struggling. Some are thriving, but some are struggling. They're finding it hard to make ends meet. So they are, and they're the type of businesses we should be helping through some form of relief some way. And I believe that we should be looking more at the big multinationals that's in our country here, and that who are having billions of pounds of a turnover right throughout their companies. They're the type of people I think we should be looking at in this consultation. Not the wee sweet shop in the corner, but the big multinationals. Now, one of our problems in council is, and right across the other councils, is vacant properties and rates evasion. I think we need to look at that seriously. Because in our own district, there's hundreds of thousands of pounds not being paid because people are evading paying rates. They're up to all sorts, so they are in working out scams, how not to pay. I think part of this process, we need to look at that. So we do. And we need to hit them people hard, because them people that's not paying, the genuine people that's paying their rates year in, year out, and is having to pay the increase in council, they're the ones that's been penalised. So they are for others. So I think that should be looked at too. So the two things that I would like to look at is the big multinationals within our districts and throughout Northern Ireland, and the vacant properties, I'm going to say, rates of age in there. People living in properties and not paying.
Okay. Alan, help me if you could take a couple at a time and come back to you.
Okay. Councillor Henley.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Alan, thank you for your presentation. I fully concur with the sentiments expressed by Councillor Walker. I'm glad that you do recognise that in addition to things like online shopping, that rates is hitting the high street stores, and in a lot of cases is putting them over the tipping point as to whether the door remains open or not. I actually had no idea there was the exemptions were up on 20% of the overall intake. It's an incredible figure, and as Billy says, there's a lot of people to use a lot of ways to avoid pain. So I would love to see that come down. I would love to see the overall rate come down and the pain more evenly spread among the non-payers. And in relation to evasion, Alan, it was the one thing that wasn't touched on in your report. Could you give us an idea, in monetary terms, how much evasion there is out there, and what steps the department are taking to clamp down on that? Thank you.
Okay, Alan, if you want to come in those couple of two or three points.
Yep. Happy with the points that you've made. What I would then want you to tell me is how we target multinationals, and if you believe that's the right way to run the business rate system, we're very happy to listen to that. And will that encourage business? Will it encourage multinationals to come in if they're seen to be targeted? That's not a concern for me. It's a concern that we all have to share. But how do we go about doing that? There is a process of small business rate relief, which is looking at the small businesses, and it's right up to £15,000 realizable value, so there's quite a lot of small businesses benefiting from that. What I would say to you is that, as I said earlier, it's equally distributed to those small premises that financially need it, and also to those that financially don't need it. And is that the best way of running the relief system? And it's the same for industrial derating. So we have to look at those reliefs, but we have to remember that every relief that we give out is a relief that has to be paid for. And there are 70% of rates that's not about the high street and it's not about retail. And there are many struggling businesses that right across the board. So if we move the burden from retail, then we move it to infrastructure, we move it to many of the other services that we use. So because there are telecoms that will be, there'll be NIE, there's water service, there's all of these other, everything else pays rates. And so we have to look at what we do and how we move it. In terms of, I would never know how much rates are being evaded, because you can't ever work that out, because you don't know what you don't know. But there are many ways in which we can go about and chasing and making sure that where properties are vacant, they are truly vacant. In terms of do we recognise, we have brought through this review because we are listening to business and we are listening to what is happening out there. But we need to find ways of driving down the rate poundage. The rate poundage in this borough, when you put together the regional rate and the district rate, is 58p in the pound. So in other words, we are taxing on the rental value that we're paying. We're asking people to pay the rent. They were taxing them at 58%. That's what we're doing in terms of business rates. If you're in London, you'll be taxed at 49%. But if you have a shop in Downpatrick, you'll be taxed at 58%. Mm. And if you're in some other parts of the province, you'll be taxed at 65%. And so our rate poundage is incredibly high. So we need to find ways of bringing down the individual burden of rate poundage. But to be able to do that, we have to square the circle. Now, if we can keep on saying that we need to provide more relief, the outcome of providing more relief as the rate poundage goes up, not down. And that's the conundrum.
Okay, Alan, thank you very much. I think when you hear those sort of figures, it becomes very startling as to the challenge we face. Barra?
Indeed, Chair, yeah. I suppose, probably like most councillors, anyone who represents a rural area will be hearing an awful lot about business rates and that, and we often get business owners contacting councillors and saying, like, what can you say about this here? Can you get us some sort of relief? Can you get it down that it's totally unsustainable? You hit on it there probably with fairness, where they would say, you said yourselves about the public services, that they pay their business rates and it's they get back in the public services. But if you're in a small rural village, you mightn't see the public services maybe that a bigger city would get. And then your butcher or your shopkeeper or your bar owner would be saying, well, I'm paying the same rates as somebody in Uri, say, you know. And that's the challenge. So until now, you know, you've answered quite a few of what I'd say. I would say, like, a small bar in a place like, say, Cullyhanna, for example, who's really only able to open at weekends, only Friday, Saturday and Sunday, but who wanted to put Sky Sports into their bar, who wanted to have Wi-Fi in their bar as well, they probably wouldn't be able to do all three. You know, maybe they'll open their bar at the weekends and pay the staff and get the provinces to keep afloat, but they wouldn't be able to put on the extra service of their sports and that, and a sort of challenge out there. But when they're coming to me and they're saying, look, what can we do as a local councillors, I'm going to go back to them all now and say, look, here's a public consultation, key in what your issues are, get involved in it, tell them how you think it should be fixed. And thanks a million for your...
Yep, no, and I appreciate that. I think there's a number of other ways too in which people can help and help themselves. They can look at their rateable value, and they will get a new rateable value, and some of my colleagues will come and tell you more about that in a month or two. But there is a revaluation which will look at the new values. It's 5 years since they were looked at, so that will come out at the end of November into play at the beginning of April. And in that way, that starts to say, well, the values here have gone down further, and so those values will be reduced. And where the values have gone up, they will go up. There is no more money made out of a revaluation, but it's a regular basis of redistributing the burden in a fairer way. So where a small country pub has seen further decline over the town centre or city centre pub, then revaluation seeks to redress that. The same amount of money is required, but it's distributed, so they may drop by 1% and others will go up. And so that's important. And you know, it's too late to do it now, but we really struggle to get people to provide the details of their turnover and their details of their rent. People are very reluctant to do that, but yet that's the best way of making sure that it's fairly based. And there maybe is still an opportunity to do that if they, you know, when they get their new value. But thank you, Councillor.
Okay, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'm pretty much on the same thread as Barra. I suppose for us as rural councillors, it nearly is about rural proofing the rate space, and just as he had said with the local pub, the example that he used. Probably the issue that we're going to have with the revaluation of some properties is those that are going to be revalued at a higher rate. You know, as councillors when I first came in 4 years ago,
think my accountant said to me, do something about the rates increasing every year, and we're going into the rate process now next month, and every year it's extremely difficult to do something about it. So I can imagine what we're going to have to fight as councillors when we come back with higher valuations, and we will have some that will be challenged, surely. But the way we do business has changed, and Councillor Tinley had touched on it, and you're talking about online business, and I've already, I went through this presentation, I suppose we get to regurgitate this, take it out to the people that we represent, and ask them to respond, as Councillor Murray had said, and that's our role, and we'll respond as political parties ourselves as well. When you go out and you say, listen, there should be people with shops and businesses, and I have a business myself, we should be taking in a rate for online businesses. You know, but then that puts some of them people out of business that work from home as well. It's not an exact science. Also, you know, I had one person when this came up the other day. I actually asked them about it, and this is, you know, the exempt. You have 20% of places exempt. And I know our party is saying that, and you have churches and places of worship and that. And this one person says to me, "Well, charge the churches. You know, one of the most richest organisations in the world. They should be paying something into the rate base." But when you say that and you think about it for a second, that actually comes out of the pockets of the local people, because nothing is done in rural communities, the communities that I serve, to the local churches that people go to, that people don't pay themselves. Whether you're roofing a church or doing up a cemetery, there's a whip around from the local community. So they'll get charged. So removing exemptions in certain places might look like you're increasing the rates base. You're putting more pressure on the pocket of local people, and definitely in rural communities. Also just on the evasion, so it's not an exact science now. Also in the evasion, even if we did get the figures, you know, the figures aren't exact, and we talked in this chamber many times about where you're rating empty properties, and you know, and I've raised it in SPNR so many times, and I'll be raising it through the rates process again. You know, empty properties are now rated, have to pay full rates after they get served the completion notice, and some of them, you know, are sitting empty for 20 years because they're not even only shells, not even first fixed, but yet they have to pay a huge amount of rates. And that's wrong. There's now nothing we can do about that until we get an executive up and running. But I'm very disappointed that when we're looking at the revaluation of business properties, and I understand that the two of them should be taken separately, I get from constituents all the time, what about the revaluation of domestic properties? And we get that from everybody. When the rate process starts, you know, when family members or whatever, the valuation put on some of the houses around the area that I represent in rural South Armagh is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous, and that needs to be looked at, because that's a huge amount of the rate base as well. So yes, it's not straightforward, but we will take this information back, and I want to thank you for your presentation, and we get businesses to feed in and also political parties to feed in as well.
Hey, thanks, Councillor Byrne. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair, and I do like to take the opportunity to thank you very much for your presentation, which is a very informative one, and again, it is a very touchy subject, you know, especially with rates and the way the current economic climate is, and with Brexit, you know, there's just a lot of uncertainties out there, and I know the points were touched about the multinationals and, you know, vacant properties, etc., but and also rural proof, but one of my issues is, and I do a lot of work with my constituents, is welfare reform. What steps will the department be taking in to deal with welfare, with people who are being on benefits and with welfare reform, you know, universal credit, etc.? And again, there's a lot of work to do. And I know in the Republic of Ireland, pardon me, in 1977, the Fianna Fáil government there abolished rates and domestic properties and everything, but maybe there's other options of getting funding in to deal with it, such as environmental schemes, such as, you know, with just say with recycling and whatever. There could be a tax or something on recyclables, whatever, and part of that could go towards rates and maybe offset the burden on payers. But that's just a few thoughts from me. But again, thank you very much.
Okay, Helen, do you want to come back in any place?
Yeah, just to pick up. I understand what Councillor Byrne said around exemptions, because it's actually if you go back and tax in a property tax way properties that are charities, in a sense that goes against all the other gift aid and the taxation system that actually allows us to give to charities. So charities have earned money; they've got their money from our taxable income that we have already been taxed on. And then we'd be taxing again. Mm-hmm. But I understand also where people say, well, the charity should pay something. But maybe we can look at all of that sector. That's a very big chunk. So there's religious buildings in there. and then there are other charities in there, and maybe we need to look at them all at different sectors within that sector. That's something you could maybe think about. In terms of domestic, I'm not really here to talk about domestic, I'll just make a quick couple of comments. The system in Northern Ireland, we do have the values that they're based on 2005 values, and we know that values increased dramatically after 2005 and then decreased dramatically as well. The fairness will still be there as long as if all of those properties are 20% overvalued, then it's fair because everybody's properties are on that same basis. It's where certain areas have gone up or down and where you need a revaluation. At least we have modern values. England's working on 1990 values. And so we at least have, there's some resemblance of fairness in our system. We will be, in terms of welfare reform and universal credit, that won't be not relevant in a sense to business rates. One of the other areas that's been brought up in other areas is about looking at, green issues, environmental issues, and if there's some form of enhancement that we can give for properties that may or be carbon neutral or whatever in terms of new properties. So there's a number of things there that have been brought up that we can look at, and would be interested to get your response on those as well. Thank you.
Okay, Alan, well, on behalf of the committee, we'd like to thank you for your excellent presentation tonight and for your time. And I think the message we're all taking from it and the commitment that we're all giving is that we will go back to the business community in the areas that we represent and ask them to play a full role and a full part in collating the information that's needed for you to shape the plans and the programme that you have for reshaping rates. And I'd again like to thank you for your presentation.
I appreciate your time and your thoughts on this. It's a tough subject, and it's one that we all need to address. I appreciate that you very much need business rates, but we all need to find ways of getting those rates or reducing the rates and finding different ways of doing it in a way that then will satisfy all of the people that we've discussed tonight. But it's a difficult one. So thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you very much. Okay, members, we move on to item number 5, which is the Irish Language Financial Assistance Scheme 2020-21 and the Moranee Community Financial Assistance Scheme 2020-2021. I think Regina's going to address that for us. Thanks, Regina.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, the programmes unit have advised us, Mr. Chairman, that the aimest of letters of offer for financial assistance call 1-2021 issued to groups by the end of March 2020. Now, in order to achieve this, they're aiming to open financial assistance call 1 the first week of November 2019, and they're seeking information on things to be included in the call. Accordingly, the corporate policy section is seeking approval to include 2. One is an Irish language indicative budget 50,000 and a minority communities financial assistance scheme theme indicative budget 12,500 within the financial assistance call 1 for the period 2021. Mr. Chairman, I can't stress enough, these are only indicative budgets which reflect the amount agreed in 2019-20, and it's acknowledged that the budgets will be subject to agreement and approval through the rate setting process.
Thanks, Regina. Councillor Gallagher.
I just want to I want to comment to say that we are very happy that this scheme is carrying forward into the 2020-2021, and the SLB are very fully supportive of the Irish language, and obviously want to mention the work that was worked in partnership and support the PUL society community, and hope this continues to move forward in a positive way and obviously in a shared manner.
Thanks, Councillor Glover. Councillor Murray.
Yeah, I'm happy to second that. Just reading down through it, the two things in particular, the Irish language community renewal and development, certainly I agree with the thinking behind that, theme in that there are a lot of Irish language groups out there within the district who are doing good work in that there, and it would be an ideal opportunity for them to revitalise and develop what they're doing and to work in partnership. Even the other one, the theme two, is potentially even a better theme in that the idea of positively engaging the Irish language with the POL community, as Councillor Gallagher has alluded to there, it's 5 years since this council maybe got up and running on that, and I think a bit of the hostility towards the Irish language has passed when all the councillors are seeing that there is no threat and that it's opened to all councillors. So hopefully this positive engagement with the Irish language will certainly open doors for other councillors to become involved.
Okay, thanks very much, Murray. Any other comments? Just on that, I think it reflects on the positive impact that Linda Irvine has had in our community in the last number of weeks, the number of events she's been involved in. I think she's opened a lot of minds and hearts to the origin of the Irish language and those who tried hardest to preserve it. So any other comments? Happy to move on. I have a proposer is Councillor Gallagher and seconder Councillor Murray. Okay, thank you. Item number 6 is a report regarding notice of motion on World War II veterans. And again, Regina, you're going to address this now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, the notice of motion, as detailed in the report, was tabled at the council meeting on the 1st of July 2019. And the motion was discussed recently at the Council's Equality and Good Relations Reference Group, and issues identified include ascertaining the number of relevant veterans' eligibility criteria, including regarding the definition of a resident, verification of applicants, deferring the event to May 2020, agreeing a budget, procurement of silver poppies, and obtaining agreement in principle of council to proceed to identify the number of veterans. So following discussion, Mr. Chairman, it was recommended that council give consideration to agree to proceed in principle to identify the number of veterans on the basis of the definition of a resident by any person who resides in the council district or whose last address before being admitted to a nursing or a care home or hospital was within the council district, persons who have been resident in a care home for 2 years or more, or former residents of the council district who have left to receive treatment or care from a relative. So it's recommended that council give consideration to agree to proceed in principle to identify the number of veterans on the basis of the definition set out.
Okay, thank you very much, Regina. Councillor Walker, this was your proposal.
Yes, well, it was my colleague Glenn Hannah's in that, and we discussed it at the Good Relations Forum on Friday, and I would make a proposal that we accept the officer's recommendations because time's getting short here, and we believe that over the whole district there will only be 10-12 veterans that will fall into the criterias for it and that. And although we wanted to do it for November and that, because it was sent to the Good Relations Forum for discussion, mm-hmm. that has held it up for 3-4 months. We have now said that, you know, we're happy for it to be rolled out in May at the end of the Second World War to coincide with that there and that. So I propose that we accept the officer's recommendation.
Councillor Burgess?
Yeah, I would second what Billy said and agree with all that he has said. I was very disappointed that we haven't been able to get it for November this year, but I suppose Billy's right, we'll go for the end of the war. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not sure if it's been seconded or not, but I'm very happy to second this if it hasn't, certainly. You know, taking part in the Colleague of Relations Committee talking about it, and you know, I think it's very important that we do it. We're not talking about big numbers, we're talking about very, very small numbers of men. From every woman as well that really did take a stand against the evils of this world, so very, very happy to support.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And the SDLP, we proposed to put it to Equality and Good Relations and said we'd fully support it. And I spoke to the unionist grouping and said, listen, you can trust our word on this. I just want to just challenge slightly, you know, the disappointment in November. I think it's right that these issues are discussed in the forum of Equality and Good Relations. It's definitely not on my behalf a stalling tactic. To push this down the road, it was to get good conversation behind closed doors and open conversation, and I think that was positive, and we want to fully support it as well.
Thanks, Councillor Horn. Councillor Andrews.
First of all, I've family fought the Second World War. My grandfather
and there was about six or seven of his brothers and various Saint Louis schools of battle, Royal Navy, the Air Force, everything. And my great uncle, who was the Royal Navy, he was the Atlantic campaign, he died 2 weeks after his 93rd birthday. And with the 75th anniversary of the ending of World War II, that's going to be celebrated next May, I think it will be a fitting tribute to those veterans who are left. So again, to me, on a personal basis, I welcome this recognition. Many of them paid much more, and they kept their thoughts and feelings to themselves. They never spoke about their service, but again, I think it's a fitting tribute to those who are left to be presented with a recognition of what they've done. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Andrews, and I'd like to echo the sentiments of Councillor Byrne. I think that this has led to good understanding conversation through the cross party group and earning good relations and what, you know, it's about fostering good relations and understanding different people's perspectives. But as we all know, people from all backgrounds fought in the two wars. That's only right to be as a council to recognise those who will be around to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the end of the war. And I certainly would be happy to support it. So we have enough that was proposed by Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Burgess. Happy to proceed? Okay. It's proposed and seconded. Okay. The next one is a report on correspondence from Origin North Down Borough Council re the UK's First National Memorial Emergency Personnel. Regina, you're going to talk on this one as well, yeah?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, at the Council Monthly Meeting on the 3rd of June 2019, correspondence from ARDS and North Down Borough Council dated the 27th of March 2019 regarding the UK's First National Memorial dedicated to all emergency service personnel who have served or been killed in the course of their duties was considered referred to the Council's Equality and Good Relations Reference Group for further discussion and clarification. The correspondence asked Council to formally place on record support for the creation of a national monument to act as a symbol of eternal gratitude for all emergency service personnel who have served or been killed in the course of their duties. This was discussed at the Council's Equality and Good Relations Reference Group meeting on the 11th of October 2019. And the recommendation is Council to consider the correspondence from ARDS and North Down Borough Council dated 27th of March 2019, asking Council to formally place on record support for the creation of a national monument to act as a symbol of eternal gratitude for all emergency service personnel who have served or been killed in the course of their duties.
Okay, Councillor Walker.
Chair, I once again was at that meeting, and I think the consensus there, every party was happy enough in relation to it. So I would propose that we accept the officer's recommendations in relation to it.
Councillor Burgess?
Yeah, I've been saying to agree with me, and I would second his proposal.
Okay. Any more speakers? Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, Chair, I took a few questions. I was to be at the Equality and Good Relations meeting, but I was in holidays last week, and I was talking to my rep that was on it, and the discussion was long on this. The issue that I would have with the paper that's in front of us, first of all, the UK National Memorial, where is to be placed? I know where it's in North Down. I read the correspondence at the last council meeting, and I've read through it again for tonight's meeting. I'd be keen to know where the memorial is being placed, and I would also, because that would actually, if I can get clarity on that first, that would qualify my second question, because it mightn't be needed if the answer to that first question isn't what I think.
Okay, and anybody shed light on that one?
Chairman, it's just in all regards to the information on the monument, our understanding is going to be in the UK.
GB?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Councillor
Byrne? Yeah, I think we need to get clarity on that because, as you know, in discussions that we've had, I would have no problem supporting a national memorial for blue light services for those. But when you're talking about, you know, this part of Ireland, and you're going, and it states here, well, the first one is police. I mean, the word police to me isn't acceptable, you know, because that's too broad ranging. It encompasses all police in the past, there's no date. In the SDLP, we never, did never respect the authority of the RUC or the Army in Ireland. And I don't want to get political on this, but I think them questions need to be asked before you give a broad consensus that this council supports a national memorial that could be put up in England to remember all people right across the United Kingdom, as it says here. And I would have issues in that. So I think clarity needs to be sought on that first before we roll in behind this. If it was a national memorial that adds North Down, we're looking for to have a memorial in Northern Ireland. We would happily go with a memorial in Northern Ireland with all the emergency service and the PFNI, which is recognised by both communities in Northern Ireland. But that would need to be that would need to be caveated with.
The first point of clarification is from the website. It says it will be located in London. Okay, so with clarity on that, it will be located in London. Okay, just bring in Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it was just to try and persuade Councillor Byrne, and it says that this was discussed at the Quality Relations, and it was roundly, you know, discussed, and there was no sense of putting any obstacles in front of it, and yet that it was to be across the water on the Big Island. Most parties there were agreeable to your point that it shouldn't be hindered and should be supported.
Mr. Walker, do you want
Chair,
to
say yes, I'm coming in, and I'm saddened that Councillor Byrne has stated what he stated. I think what North Down Ards is trying to do is gauge opinion right throughout United Kingdom, England, Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales, in relation to this. And as you've said there, this would be cited in London. And for Councillor Byrne's information, and I think this is what the concern at the time initially at Sinn Féin had, was that the military wouldn't be on it. It wouldn't be the army. It would be the Blue Light Services, so it would, that would be on it. Or fire and rescue, people like that there, the ambulance service and people like that there. That is what it's going to be for and that. And I think, you know, it's petty in saying I don't think we should support it because it's maybe going to be in London. Councillor Byrne said there, maybe if there was one in Northern Ireland, we could support it. I think and my recommendation stands that I propose it that we go with what's there, so we do. Because to be honest, a lot of these people give their lives, whether it's the Moor Mountain Rescue, whether it's the ambulance service, the fire and rescue, many people in Northern Ireland lost their lives. Whether it was fighting a house fire or whatever, whether it was at a road traffic accident or whatever, and that. And I think they should be recognised. And I know where Councillor Byrne's coming from. He maybe thinks it's going to say RUC on it. But it's not. It's going to say, I would say, the police services. It will not specifically say RUC. But I think that's where you're coming from, Councillor Byrne. You think it's going to say RUC. Well, I don't think it will.
Chair, I think, Councillor Walker, I think just for clarity for Councillor Byrne as well, the reference on the website is for 999 services, so it is very much restricted to the Blue Light Services.
Chair.
Councillor Murray, can you come in?
Yeah, Chair, we're going down a very dangerous road here, and we're gonna go round in a whole 360 degree. We had this debate at full council. It was, Billy's referring to, I raised most of it, I spoke on our party's behalf, and I recommended that it be sent to Good Relations.
Yeah.
I wasn't at the Good Relations meeting. I know Councillor Byrne wasn't at the Good Relations meeting either. But my understanding of what came out of the Good Relations meeting was that some sort of a compromise had been reached.
Yeah.
And I didn't intend to say anything here. I just, if everyone just sort of backed down a wee bit.
Right. Okay, well, I think there were expressions of the need for clarity on a number of issues, and I think we've sought that clarity and got that clarity. Councillor Byrne, do you want to finish up? Sorry, Councillor Byrne. Sorry.
No, look, I was just wanting to make the simple point that I actually work within the legacy sector. We represent lots of people who have lost their lives during the Troubles, and there shouldn't be any sort of political point to be made about this, that regardless of religion or creed, countless people, be it the police, be it the fire service or ambulance service, did go towards the bombs, the trouble, and they didn't ask, you know, who was lying on the road. And I do know that there is historic problems with the RUC and historic problems with the police, but the majority did go about their own business and did help people regardless. And I think that it's a simple case of putting up a monument to just simply recognise the response that the emergency services did give during times of such a trouble.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I do need to qualify because, I mean, this is one of them times where it's the total wrong end of the stick from my comments. At no point in the words that I had said at the start did I say that we wouldn't support it, but I would support it if it was in the north of Ireland. I didn't say that. We've discussed as a party, we've discussed the quality and good relations. I've had words with my rep that was at Equality and Good Relations and said our party fully supports it. The discussions that came out of Equality and Good Relations that Barra has just touched on, I'm well aware of. I'm well aware of the discussions and how this could be seen to be too broad and encompassing. I am aware that an agreement was made, and I am simply asking, when I get clarity for that agreement that was made is put in writing on this so it's stated. You know, because when we're putting in something where you know, members around the room, we had a check where the memorial was going, and then it just says police. To me, in a role of scrutiny, that is too wide and encompassing. So the agreement that was made at Equality and Good Relations, our party fully supported, and we had fully intended to come in here and support it tonight. I just want to make sure that is what we're supporting and not just the generic wording that's on the paper here today. So it's totally the wrong end of the stick for me. And at no point did I say we weren't going to support it.
No, but I think Councillor Walker responded to that query in relation to what he perceives as being police and the all-encompassing police services in relation to the UK way. Would that be correct, Councillor Walker?
Correct.
Right. We have a proposal and a second. Are we happy to move on? Sorry, Councillor Tindall.
Yeah, Chairman, just a brief comment. I think you touched on it there, the reference to 999 Blue Light Services is the message that we have to focus on. And everybody accepts that memorials in this part of the world have much deeper political connotations than they do in Britain. So the fact that this is going in Britain, I certainly have no issue with supporting us.
Thank you. Okay. Well, it's important we have these conversations and people who are going to support something know what they're supporting. I acknowledge both sides of the argument and I understand where people are coming from, and I believe that we've reached a scenario whereby are we in agreement in the room on the proposal of Councillor Walker and the seconding of Councillor Burgess that we support this. Okay. Duly proposed and seconded. Move on. Thank you. Okay, item 8 is for noting. It's a Section 75 policy screening report, quarterly report for period July to September 2019. I think you're taking that as well, Regina.
Mr. Chairman, again, it's just for noting, it's in line with our Section 75 statutory duties. We have to publish policy screening reports on a quarterly basis. So it's the quarterly report for the period, as the Chairman has said, July to September 2019, and it's available on the Council's website. And obviously that information is forwarded to all Equality consultees. And it's just for noting, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any questions? Duly noted. Okay. Item number 9 is the Community Planning Partnership Board minutes on the 29th of January 2019 January 2019, 18th of June 2019. Are we happy enough to note, members? Yes? Okay. Duly noted. Item number 10 is correspondence dated the 2nd of the 9th, 19 rate support grant overpayment. That's for noting. Any issues, Wayne, do you want to come in?
No, just Chairman, this is an action from the last SBNR. I tabled the thing. It's gone in again, and just to keep members informed.
Okay. We chanced our arm and it's not looking good. Okay, probably to note. Sorry, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, because we discussed this the last FPNR and asked following the very heavy worded letter that was penned from Dorina, and we all were happy with the outcome of that letter to get it struck off. But are we writing to other councils? No, they're saying that other councils would need to be consulted. Are we writing to other councils so that we're in a position, should a minister be appointed in the near or distant future, that we're in a position to look at this straight away? Because it's one thing that I think this district definitely is unfairly treated with the makeup of the new formula, and it's going to make our rates process difficult for the years that the Assembly is down. But we should at least consult with other councils so that we are
keeping this on the agenda, should the minister be put in the position in the near future?
I think there may not come in on that.
Yes, Councillor Byrne, there's a quarterly meeting of all council finance officers with the department, which takes place across the year. This is all things rate support grant, the standing agenda item on that. So the 11 I sit on that group representing this council and my equivalents in other councils, so we meet regularly. And obviously not every council will be coming at a review from the same page, but there are a number of us who, you know, we will all actively work together. So there already, I suppose, is that linkage. And I know you'll have seen the last time ourselves, ABC from Ananoma, worked very closely the last time, and we'll continue to work very closely because our issues are very similar.
Okay, we all happy to note. Duly noted. Item number 11, the topic that keeps on giving. Brexit preparedness, noted. wishful thinking, I think, there, Councillor Burgess. Doreen, are you going to come in on what is either up to date, or was up to date, or might be up to date?
Well, I think this is, it's an ever changing picture. Obviously, this has probably moved on from it was actually tabled in your pack. As the purpose of presenting this paper, councillors, is to keep you up to date on the work that is going on within council, and to give you some assurances that we are actively working, actively engaging. By way of very recent update, and it's not within your paper, but just to let you know that as of 4:30 this afternoon, we were advised that the Northern Ireland hub will stand up on Monday as planned. We're running a test within the council, our own communication procedures tonight and in the morning, and there is a council-wide forum meeting tomorrow afternoon as well, which our Brexit, key Brexit officer will be in attendance at. So, and our communications department, you'll see in your paper, are also working on comms as well, but that's a difficult task at the minute, as it is ever-changing. So that's really just the most up-to-date position as of today, given developments.
Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. I read through the risk register, I just want sort of clarification in the sense of, I noticed that regarding issues around data, we seem to have quite a low risk rating, but given the amounts of data that surely must go through regarding things, is this undercooked in regard to risk rating? And also just regarding the staff, the notice there about staff in order to process certain things, and also the need to accommodate the staff should some of these issues come to bear. So, and also just, is there going to be what strain on our staff that we have currently are we going to experience? Do we have enough staff? Is there going to be a drain on staff? And whatever offices that we have to add to our is that going to come at an extra cost to what we have? Are these premises we already have that have been converted? I understand as well, Doreen and other officers, that I totally understand that none of this is of your making. So, at the same, we are where we are. Thank you.
Chairman, happy to pick up on that there, Councillor Doreen is just new on it, but just take our data is stored in London, so therefore the risk to data is low, so we're not. The issue would be with data, if some people had data, was held in data banks in Dublin, which happens with a number of organisations, then you're outside and access to data would be difficult, but it's low risk from in terms of ourselves. In terms of our own business preparedness, we've got, big challenge to ourselves at this point in time in terms of staffing. We have our emergency planning team, so Kelly McInniff, who's our emergency planning officer, is the link person. She's linking in with the C3 operation, and Paul McMinn has been paid for by central government, so we have a coordinating officer at central government. We're not getting any money for Kelly onto it, but at this point in time, it's tied into it, but that's something we may pick up later on going on. The big issue we've got is around the whole food aspect of it, and that's where we've got a number of officers working. That could show up here. We've sandwich manufacturers should be affected, three sandwich manufacturers, wholesale distributors, fish processors, you know, and a hide for charity and human consumption. Again, these are all part that will need certificates to leave. So there's that issue. So we're actually actively bringing staff in. We've got $500,000 roughly from DERA to do that, which we're doing set up office calls, IT provision, enabling web internet connections, stuff like that there. So that's currently going on at the moment. Coupled with that there, then there is also I suppose we're raising the issues where people, while DERA will be providing some of the, they'll be certifying some of the vet certificates, some of them have to be private vets, which will be additional cost to individual farmers. So what I'm sort of saying to you is, what we do is, from our perspective, Invest and I, we have a conversation with Invest and Invest to do stuff for smaller businesses, how we can support smaller businesses. Again, that's something, maybe a resource which we need to do. So I suppose what we're trying to do on many occasions is try to offload them calls onto central government and make the debate with central government and make that argument. But, you know, I don't think any business is going to thank you or thank you individuals as councillors if they start to go to the wall and can't get the certificates to trade. So where we can assist, we are putting in the staff in to assist. And that's in terms of whether that's bright, you know, whether that's doing workshops in conjunction with Chamber of Commerce or Intertrade Ireland and Beth and I, we're rolling out our staff to actually do that level of support.
Okay. Any more questions or comments? Happy to note? Yeah, duly noted. Okay. Item number 12 is the sickness absence. Absence report October 2019 for SPNR. Are we happy to note?
Chairman, again, it's come out of the audit committee. You know that some of the councillors are at the audit committee, so we're going to try and bring this on a quarterly basis, give you an update. Hopefully that's sufficient information for you, you know, but again, if members feel that we need to bring more information, we're trying to give you is an overview look that so in terms of how we're dealing with sickness and how we're going. So our intention is to try to bring it back on a monthly basis. Chairman, it wouldn't be significant, because so we'll be trying to do it on a quarterly basis and see how that goes. If members are happy enough.
Happy enough. Okay, duly noted. Okay. The next item is deemed to be restricted by virtue of paragraph 3 of part 4 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, NI 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person. The public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. So I would ask all. Proposed when the committee, Councillor Burgess, seconded. Councillor Harrell. Okay, so you want to read into the minutes?
So, whilst in closed session, the following was agreed. Item 13, it was agreed in the proposal of Councillor Gallagher, seconded by Councillor Dorn. The Council underwrite one-fifth of any liability attached to the matching process and should be transferred where relevant of the emergency planning officer currently employed by Lisburn Castlereagh Council. Item 14, it was agreed in the proposal of Councillor Dorn, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, to renew the licence in favour of Killock Oyster Limited in the area outlined in red on the map circulated in the officer's report for a further 15 years, subject to a licence fee of £680 per annum for the first 5 years, and thereafter such licence fee as is determined by a rent review in years 5 and 10 of the term. Item 15, it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor O'Murray, seconded by Councillor Byrne, to approve in principle the rectification of the folio map and apply on condition that Council's legal costs be paid by the requester in relation to Clanallan Park Warren Point. Item 16, it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor O'Murray, seconded by Councillor Tinley, to remove the stipulation that the social enterprise activity must be directly connected to the purposes of Thomas Daly's Ladies GFC, to waive Council's interest in reacquiring the lands at this time, to ensure so far as possible continued rights for the Council in respect of the use and future disposal of the land by Thomas Davis GFC, and this relates to land at Altnavay, Dorns Hill, Newry. Item 17, it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor O'Murray, to approve the appointment of a team of consultants to develop options for the Albert Basin Park site. Item 18, it was agreed to note that where the Chief Executive has reached the third point of their pay scale and has demonstrated exceptional performance as assessed via an objective and robust process of appraisal and agreed by all unanimously that an exceptional performance payment of one increment may be made. Item 19, it was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Dorn, to submit the proposed response as contained in Appendix B of the Officer's Report to NOGA in relation to the trade union side NJC pay claim for 2020-21. Item 20, It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Byrne, to release three further officers under the RPA voluntary severance scheme on the basis of surplus resource, and management has confirmed that the work can be completed and service delivery will not be negatively impacted. Item 21. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Tinley, to reverse the decision taken by the ERT Committee on the 11th of February 2019 to award the Newry Rainbow Committee a further £50,000, save for the £6,500 discussed in the officer's report, which will be paid upon receipt of satisfactory vouching documentation. Item 22, the action sheet from the Efficiency Working Group meeting on the 29th of June. It was agreed to note the action sheet of that date. Item 23, it was agreed to note the action sheets from the Albert Basin Task and Finish Working Group meetings held on the 11th of September and the 8th of October 2019, noting that the actions contained within will now be reviewed in accordance with the Council-approved revised terms of reference for the Task and Finish Working Group. The Council officers will bring forward a draft terms of reference for the stakeholder forum to the next meeting and to agree that the date of the next meeting of the Task and Finish Working Group would be changed to Tuesday the 26th of November for the month of November only.
Okay, thank you very much, members, for your patience. Slightly less than 2.5 hours, but big agenda. Thank you very much for your time.